This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily and sometimes more than daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth. After a torrid weekend for Downing Street, after Dominic Cummings published a blog with several allegations towards the Prime Minister, we had a further development today in terms of problems with Boris Johnson with the Daily Mail front page, which ultimately suggested that the Prime Minister had at one point spoken about bodies piling up and how that would have to happen in order to avoid another lockdown. James, we spoke about this on the podcast this morning, but since then, we've had a few journalists, the BBC, Robert Peston, another for ITV and also on Coffee House, saying that they have had this corroborated by several sources. Yet we've also had on the record denials from Boris Johnson in a pool clip. So are we any clearer as to what is going on?
We're essentially in a standoff, which is you've got journalists reporting that they've corroborated the story, but their sources are not on the record. You have Boris Johnson denying on the record that he said it. And I think this is, unless, as I said this morning, unless there is a recording and that seems unlikely given the circumstances in which it seems to be said, in that Robert Peston, in Robert Peston's version of events on Coffee House, he says that, you know, this was shouted, you know, and heard down a hallway. So it doesn't sound like a kind of thing that is likely to have been clipped. Then I think it will just kind of continue to be in this situation where some people say he said it, he says he didn't say it. And so I suspect that people's opinion on this will divide on the question of what he said. So it was quite interesting, I thought, Isabel's written about this on Coffee House, in the Michael Gove's appearance in the Commons. Opposition MPs clearly think he said it. Michael Gove said that he was in the meeting and he thought it was incredible to imagine that the Prime Minister would say it. So I think this will roll on like this. I think it's hard to see, again, unless people go on the record, that the story will move beyond where it is now. I think it's one of those things that Labour politicians will use, and SNP politicians, as Nicola Sturgeon did today, will use to attack Boris Johnson repeatedly, while Tory politicians will say, well, the Prime Minister's denied it on the record and his accusers haven't gone on the record.
Now, Isabel, as James touched on, we've had Michael Gove in the chamber. Can you tell us how he fared when he faced an urgent question from the SNP?
Yes, so it was an urgent question from Alison Thewlis, who's one of the Glasgow MPs for the SNP. And Michael Gove came armed with lots of defences and some supportive, sycophantic backbenchers as well. And they had various arguments. One was that all the parties are bad, which is always a lovely thing to hear from politicians. You had Michael Gove pointing to the various bits of strife that the SNP has had over the past few months with Alex Salmond and the inquiries into whether Nicola Sturgeon broke the ministerial code. He then started talking about Labour in Liverpool. So there was a lot of local electioneering and electioneering for the devolved assemblies going on as well. There were also Conservative MPs who turned up who thought it was very important to say that none of their constituents cared about this. None of them were interested in it. They were talking about other things on the doorstep, like successful vaccine rollout. And clearly these MPs thought that this issue was so unimportant that they'd dedicate a section of their afternoon to coming to the urgent question on it to tell everyone how unimportant it was. So it was nice to hear from them. But as James said, Michael Gove didn't repeat Boris Johnson's denial of the let the bodies pile high remarks. He said he found it incredible that anyone would say that. And he said that he was in the room and he hadn't heard that remark. Now, a sort of casual listen to that, people might think, oh, yes, that's him denying it. But this is Westminster language, something that that all of us on this podcast have learned at some stage in our careers, that people often don't deny things, but they also don't lie. So they'll say, I haven't heard that, which doesn't mean other people didn't hear it, doesn't mean it wasn't said, or I find it incredible to imagine this. Well, yes, but lots of incredible things do happen in politics. And I was definitely taken in by this at the start of my career when somebody said they hadn't seen something happen, and then it turned out that it had happened, it's just that they weren't in the room, which was convenient for them. So I think that Michael Gove's refusal to deny that particular comment does add a little bit of weight to the suggestion that there are lots of different camps in Westminster all briefing on one another's behalf at the moment. And some of the briefings over the weekend have suggested that there are allies of Michael Gove on manoeuvres against Boris Johnson and against Dominic Cummings, and in favour of Dominic Cummings and in favour of Carrie Symons and against Carrie Symons. So there's all these different factions briefing against one another. And even if we never get to the bottom of whether Boris Johnson said this or not, because as James says, no one will go on the record, I suspect this briefing war is not over. I'm not sure it's burned itself out yet. At some point, all the camps may think, God, this looks horrendous. But they all seem pretty riled up at the moment and quite keen to try to make the other side surrender, which means that they're prepared to keep going for a little longer.
And James, the other big event today in the House of Parliament relates to Simon Case, the Cabinet Secretary, who has been giving evidence. There are lots of questions ahead of his appearance people wanted him to answer on the funding of the Downing Street flat, what role he's had. We know that he's been involved in trying to effectively clean up the mess. Also looking, I think, at the chatty rat row. Did he tell Dominic Cummings, as Cummings alleges, that he was exonerated, and point to Henry Newman? But yet, when it came to his appearance, there wasn't too much there, was there?
I mean, Simon Case was so determined not to make news that that became a story in and of itself. He essentially turned up to the committee and said that he couldn't tell them very much about the chatty rat inquiry because while it wasn't a criminal investigation, there were some methods being used that he didn't want to talk about in public. And so he basically stonewalled the committee on that. He stonewalled the committee on that for about 10 minutes and then said, I've said all I can say to the committee about this inquiry, which didn't matter, make the point. And then on the Downing Street flat, he said, well, I wouldn't want to give the committee any incorrect information, so let me go away and think about this. Which, as the committee said, it was pretty obvious that they were going to ask him about this, so it seemed rather strange that he didn't come armed with the information. I think we did learn a couple of things from Simon Case, though. The first is he said this inquiry would be concluded in months, not weeks. Secondly, he said it was probable that the culprit or culprits would not be definitively identified. So I think as, again, there's a kind of theme running through this podcast, as with the question of whether Boris Johnson said the bodies pile up comment, we're just going to be left with both factions, internal Tory factions, claiming what they claim and no one being able to say definitively which side is accurate or not. I think on the flat, again, he talked about all declarations we made in due course, which does imply that at least initially someone else might have been involved in the payment for this before Boris Johnson then settled the costs himself, which we know. And I think if that was the case, I think they would be, given this formulation was also, I think, Isabel will correct me if I go wrong here, but I think this was the same as the formulation that Michael Gove used in the chamber, that all declarations would be made in due course, right? And I think that this formulation certainly implies, or the choice of language implies that someone did initially maybe make a donation, which has then since been repaid or not. It would surely make more sense, given how long this story has been running for, just to get that information out there, rather than to kind of continuously say this rather odd form of words, which I think raises more questions than it answers.
And finally, Isabel, what is the mood like in the Tory party on this? It definitely seems though Simon Case's appearance rattled rather than charmed, but ultimately you've been watching the chamber this afternoon, and it feels that publicly MPs are rallying around Boris Johnson. Is that the sense you get privately as well?
I think there's a real dismay privately amongst the Conservative MPs I've spoken to that this is becoming such a big and long-running issue, and that Downing Street is behaving so dysfunctionally at the moment that actually, you know, the MPs are having to go along to the chamber and remind people about the vaccine rollout and claim that their constituents don't care about this. This is not where any MP would want to be when they're on the doorstep in the run-up to local and devolved assembly elections. And I think there's just a sense that Boris Johnson seems to have lost his way a bit again after a couple of months where he seemed quite stable.
I think there is a very weird thing going on in our politics at the moment. Now, we haven't had enough time yet to see whether this shows up in the polls. But there is something strange going on, which is in Scotland, the SNP comfortably ahead, despite the fact that the current First Minister and the former First Minister are in a kind of form of kind of all-out political war with each other. And in England, you have the Tories comfortably ahead, despite the fact that the Prime Minister and his former chief strategist, and a chief strategist of far, you know, some chief strategists are more important than others, and Dominic Cummings was clearly a more important chief strategist than most, are at loggerheads. And it's just a very, very strange thing at the moment that normally one of the rules of politics is that the public abhors divided parties and punishes them quite rapidly. One of the things that seems odd is that that hasn't happened yet in either Scotland or England.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening.